Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Welcome to a special Christmas edition of the Career Callings radio program. All right, a lot of times on the Career Callings program, as you know, I am interviewing Christian business people and asking them a series of questions. And one of the questions I ask them is, how are you using your workplace as your mission field? Well, today I want to have a little bit different twist on that and interview a gentleman named John Smolzy, who's going to share with us how his workplace helped lead him to Christ. And I met John in a business dealing not too terribly long ago, and he shared his testimony with me, and I just thought it would be a fantastic thing to share at this Christmas season on this special Christmas edition of the Career Callings radio show. So, John, welcome to Career Callings, sir.
Well, thank you, Robbie. Nice to be with you.
Man, it's great to have you today. And I want you to just kind of share with the audience, rather, what you shared with me in a previous phone call about how the Lord led you to Himself. So if you will, just take the platform and just share whatever the Lord has laid on your heart on how He led you to Him.
Sure. Thank you. I'd like to start by saying that I was raised in a church in a northern town, in one of our northern states, and at a young age, I loved Jesus and wanted to live for Him and serve Him. And that when I became a teenager, my father was an elder in our church, and one night they had an elders meeting in our home, and the minister of our church, who I pretty much idolized and looked up to, was in that elders meeting, and he began screaming that he wanted the associate pastor fired, and I realized that he was jealous of this minister, and it so hurt me when I heard those things that I thought, gee, I ended up turning away from that minister and turning away from that church and turning away from my faith, and over a number of years became an atheist, and I said, there is no God. There is no heaven, there is no hell. And I lived in a life of sin, going deep into sin and things that I deeply regret now. And later in life, when I started in my career, I ended up working for a company in pretty much a northern border state, and very cold up there, and worked there for 5 years. And realized that I didn't want to work there forever. I wanted to retire in the South, and I thought when I became 65, I'd retire in the South. But it dawned on me, hey, there are jobs in the South. Maybe I could get a transfer. So I requested a transfer and received one. And this was back in the mid-1970s. I was transferred here to South Carolina. And loved the climate and loved the people here. But very quickly, I realized that this is the Bible Belt, and Christians at work began to invite me to go to church with them and ask me about Jesus. And basically, I told them I didn't want to do with any of this Jesus stuff. I didn't want to, you know, get involved in all that. I didn't want to go to church with them. And some were very persistent, and some told me they were praying for me. And I, over a number of months and years, I just told them, leave me alone. I'm not interested in that Jesus stuff, and I don't want any part of it. And at one point in time, there was a lady who was pretty persistent. Her name was Janice, and she said, you know, would you like to go to church with my husband and me? And I told her no. And then she said with compassion in her voice, she said, oh, but I want you to be saved. And she had tears in her eyes. And I just kind of mocked her and laughed at her. And I know that deeply hurt her. But years later, I found out that she continued to pray for me. She didn't give up. Some of the Christians I worked with gave up and stopped praying for me, but most of them continued to pray for me. They just got smart about it. They stopped telling me they were praying for me, and they continued to pray for me without telling me. And that was kind of sneaky, but I'm so glad that they did. And looking back on that, and when I came to Christ, I realized that I will be forever grateful to these wonderful people, that God put me in the same company with these wonderful Christians, and I will be eternally grateful to them for their prayers, because God heard their prayers and God began to deal with me. And these Christians had a devotional. Every Tuesday they would meet for lunch in a conference room, and they would read devotions and share prayer requests and get together, and I made fun of them for many years and mocked them out for doing that, and I deeply regret making fun of them, because they're wonderful people. Anyway, to make a long story short, over approximately 7 years, this went on, and then I heard that Janice had left the company. She went with her husband to a seminary where he was studying to be a minister. And I was so grateful that she left, because I wouldn't have to be bothered anymore by her inviting me to church. Anyway, and she was gone for probably a year or two, and then I heard she was coming back, and I thought, oh no. But little did I know that God had some things in store for me and for her as well. And he brought her back, and at the same time, God was seriously beginning to deal with me about some things. I went through a point in life where it seemed like everything was going wrong in my life. I had some physical issues that I ended up having to have an operation, and I ended up praying to a God that I said did not exist, and came through the operation fine, and it turned out it was nothing serious. I fell and twisted my ankle and ended up with some torn ligaments. I was on crutches at the same time that I was in the hospital for the other operation. And everything seemed to be going wrong in every aspect of my life. At the same time, I was very interested in what was going to happen to the world at the end, how the world was going to end. Was it going to end up in World War III and blow up? And so I was looking for a book about that, and my brother mentioned to me that there's a book, and he mentioned the name of the book, and he said that it mentions the Bible a little bit, but you can disregard that part of it. That's what I heard him say, but he told me later he never actually said that. But anyway, I went looking, and it's what, and God used that, by the way, because when I went to a bookstore to find a book about Nostradamus, I couldn't find, you know, the book about Nostradamus and his predictions. But I found the book that my brother mentioned, and I found it, and I pulled it off the shelf, and I looked at it, and I bought it and took it home. And I began reading that book, and very quickly into the book realized that it was a book that was totally based on the Bible, and it was based on Bible prophecies of what the Bible what God had prophesied in the Bible that was going to happen right before the second coming of Jesus to this earth. And I started reading that, and I saw it, and I said, man, I can't believe I've wasted good money on a book about the Bible. Well, I've got that book right here in front of me right now. It was $2.75. That's good money on a book about the Bible. Anyway,
that's right.
So I took I was going to throw that book out. That's the thought that came into my head immediately. Throw this book out. It's, you know, just a waste of my time. But then another thought came into my head, and the thought was, read this book, and every time the author of this book mentions a Bible scripture, get your childhood Bible and look it up in the Bible and prove once and for all that the Bible is garbage. And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to read this book, this Christian book, and every time he mentions something that is supposedly prophecy from the Bible, I'm going to look it up in the Bible, and I'm going to prove that he's being a deceiver, that he's, you know, tricking us and, you know, playing with the scriptures, and I'm going to prove that the Bible's garbage. Anyway, so I started reading this book, and it quickly began to get into prophecies about Jesus, which I thought were interesting. But the part that I was really interested in was what was going to happen in the world in the end. And he began to detail prophecies from the Bible. The first one that I noticed that really impacted me was that God had said that Israel would become a nation in one day. And he referenced where that was in the Bible, and I looked it up. And it was actually about 700 years before Christ came to earth. So 2,700 years ago, God foretold that Israel would become a nation in one day. Well, I was born in 1947, and Israel became a nation in one day on May 14th, 1948, and I knew that. And I looked it up, and there it was in the Bible, just the way the author of this book said, that God foretold that Israel would become a nation in one day. And I slammed the Bible shut, and I said, coincidence. And then he went into some more detail about how God would bring the Jewish people back to Israel from every nation in the world to which they'd been scattered. And he referenced Bible verses for that, and I looked those up, and there they were. They were 2,600 years ago that God foretold that that would happen. And I knew how the Jewish people had been coming back to Israel ever since 1948, and even prior to that, as a matter of fact. And I realized that that prophecy has come true in my lifetime. And he went into other prophecies and other things that have happened that are true that have happened in my lifetime as well. And by the third one of these things, I began to realize that only God could know things 2,600 and 2,700 years in the future, that the Bible must be from God, and that there must be a heaven and must be a hell just the way the Bible says, and that Jesus must be God's son, and that I must be headed to hell because I've rejected Jesus and I've done a lot of bad things in my lifetime. And I became very convicted that it's all true. And about the same time, actually 3 days before I accepted Christ, I came home from work and I turned on the TV set, and there was a program on back in those days called PM Magazine. And it was a Wednesday night. PM Magazine came on, and the title of it was Three Men Who Went to Hell. And they detailed in that, I think it was a half-hour show, they interviewed and talked to doctors and nurses and technicians and even to the people themselves who went to hell. These were people who came in to the hospital in emergency situations, and they died on the operating table or, you know, on the way to the hospital. They actually clinically died, and the doctors and nurses were able to resuscitate them, bring them back to life again, and they came back to life screaming as three different cases at different times, and this PM Magazine documented that. And what they saw, they actually went to the gates of hell, and they came back, and they screaming that they didn't want to die again because they didn't want to go to hell. And this was not ministers talking. This was normal, everyday people and doctors and nurses. No ministers were on the program at all. And I always felt like, you know, ministers had some kind of agenda that they wanted to get you saved so they could get you into church so that you could give money to their church. But this was just normal people. And it really struck me that, you know, what if it's all true? What if there really is a hell? And what if there really is a heaven? And all of this stuff was coming together at the same time in my life. And I began to realize that there's got to be a better way to live than the way I was living. And 3 days later, it was a Saturday morning. It was February 27th, 1982. I came to the end of the book, that Christian book that I mentioned a while ago that I was reading. And I came to the very end of it. And the author of that book said that no matter what bad things that you've done in your life, that Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he came to the earth to die on the cross for your sins. And that if you would invite him into your heart, he would come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. And he quoted a verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door," and of your heart is what he's talking about. "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." And the author explained that verse and said that if I would invite Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive me for my sins, that he would come in and he would forgive me for all my sins, and that I would be saved and have eternal life and end up in heaven with him forever and ever. And to make a long story short on that, I saw that as an opportunity that I needed to take advantage of. And because of the things I've done in my life, I took a Bible once and threw it in the trash can when I went to the beach. I know how Gideons have Bibles, you know, inside the drawer beside the bed, but this one was actually out on the countertop, and it was actually open. And I was an atheist, and I was so offended by that I slammed it shut and threw it in the trash can. That was years ago, years before I accepted Christ. And because of all the things I've done in my life, and, you know, basically hating Christians and hating God and cursing the Lord, I thought he would probably never come into my life. He would never come into my heart. I thought, as a little boy when I was innocent, he would probably love me then. I'm sure he would and would come into my heart then. But I had some serious doubts as to whether he would love me at this stage in my life where I'd done all these things wrong. But I got down on my hands and knees early that morning on my living room floor, and I was home alone, nobody else with me. And I began to pray, and I prayed, "Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins, and please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior." And before I could get even partway through that prayer, I felt the most beautiful feeling that I've ever felt in my life. It was Jesus' love surrounding me and encompassing me, and he just poured out his love on me. And I knew that he was there with me in that room, and that he had accepted me into his kingdom, and that he had come into my heart. And I began to sob and to weep on the floor, and I wept on the floor for a long time, not out of sadness, but out of joy that the Lord would forgive me and come into my heart and would save me. And I got up off of the floor knowing that he'd received me and he'd save me and come into my heart. And I began to tell people, you know, from that instant on, I began to tell people that I've accepted Christ and come to the Lord and become a Christian. And I'll tell you something that happened later that day that was like icing on the cake. It was the day that I got born again. It was February 27th, 1982. I went out and got the newspaper. There was an afternoon newspaper at that time. It's called the Record newspaper, and I got it and read it. But I want to take you back 3 years prior to that before I tell you what was in that newspaper. I got a card in 1979, January of 1979, which is a little over 3 years before I accepted Christ. I was an atheist, and there was a lady who was like a second mom to me. She kind of adopted me into her family as another son because when she was going through divorce, I would, you know, joke with her and get her cheered up and help her through that rough time. But she sent me a card in January of 1979, and she said this: "I'm sending you a poem that was given to me by a friend, and I'm sending it to those I love most. I believe in this poem because I believe he, meaning God, gave me you." And the poem that she sent me, I'd never heard of before, but many of you will probably recognize it. It's called Footprints in the Sand. But for those of you that don't know what that poem says, I'll read it to you. And I was an atheist when I read this, but it was from my second mom. And here's what it says. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was on a beach walking with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene across the sky, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the way, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. And this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He said, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in the times I needed you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my child, I love you, and I would never leave you. You see, during your times of suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, they were my prints. That's when I carried you. And I read that Footprints in the Sand, and it was folded up when I got it, and I folded it back up, and I held it up. I held it up in the air, and tears were streaming down my cheeks. And I was an atheist, and I said, if it was only true, if there was only a God like this, I said that with tears, you know, pouring down my cheeks. And I put that poem back in that card and threw it in a drawer and forgot about it. But a little over 3 years later, when I accepted Christ on February 27, 1982, that afternoon I went out to get my Record newspaper. And when I got the newspaper, I read all the way through to the end, and I came to the Ann Landers column. And there was the Ann Landers column with a headline that said Footprints in the Sand. And I looked at it, and there was a reprint of Footprints in the Sand. And I felt God's presence again. And it was as if he was saying, John, I really am like that. And I really do love you. And I really will carry you through the rough times in your life. And I realized that God had to move on Ann Landers' heart to have that in the column that day. And she probably had the column worked out weeks or months in advance. And so God had this whole thing planned out. And that this was a little miracle that God had done for me to as a birthday present, that I would realize that he really is in control, and he really does love me, and he really does forgive me. And it was so special to me that I've kept that clipping from the newspaper, and I've pulled that card out and found it that my second mom sent me. And God is absolutely wonderful. And I went back to work, and starting the following Monday, I went back and started telling my coworkers that I'd accepted Jesus and I'm a Christian now. And they looked at me and they smiled and they said, well, that's great, John. and you know, later they told me and that they didn't believe it. It took them about 2 weeks before they finally believed it, because they knew that I made fun of them a lot and they thought that I was setting them up for some kind of joke. But later, you know, they took me in and they began to disciple me. Janice told me that I ought to be reading the Bible. And I said, well, I'm afraid to read in the Bible, because when I was a kid, I read in the Bible from the Old Testament, Genesis, to the point in the Bible where it starts the begats. And I just put it down. And I said, I just can't handle this anymore. And I said, I'm afraid to read in the Bible because I don't want to, you know, turn away from God a second time. And she told me where I ought to be reading, and she encouraged me to read. And I would read every night, and I'd come in and tell her what I was reading, and I had questions, and she would disciple me and answer my questions. And other Christians at work did the same thing. And they told me that I ought to go to church, you know, I ought to find a church. And I said, I don't want to go to church, because it was a church and a minister that caused me to turn away from Christ the first time, and I don't want to do that ever again. And they encouraged me. They said, you need to have fellowship with other Christians. And they told me that I should really start to do that. And so I prayed about it. And God encouraged me to try out different churches. And I told God, I said, I realize that you probably do want me to go to a church. And what I'm going to do is I'm too stupid to figure it out. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to please help me to find the right church. And you're going to have to show me beyond the shadow of a doubt when I'm in that church that that's the church you want me to be in. And what I'll do is I'll go to a different church almost every Sunday morning. And, you know, if it's a bad church, you know, show me that I'm not supposed to go back. If it's not the right church, you know, the same thing. If it's the right church, you know, do it in a way that I'll know it for sure. And God was faithful to do that. And after a few months, God led me to the church where he wanted me to attend. And the people at work, who those fine Christians who were praying for me, they took me into their devotional on Tuesdays, and I began to join them. Where I'd made fun of them for going to devotionals on Tuesdays, now I was doing that, going there with them.
Nice.
At their devotionals. And God is so good, and God is so wonderful, and God used that workplace and those wonderful Christians to reach out to me, and I'm saved today because they never gave up on me. They never quit praying for me. And to this day, I mean, I love Christians, and I love people even who hate the Word of God and hate the Lord, and I pray for them. And I've seen many atheists come to faith in Christ because the Bible tells us to love even our enemies. And those Christians at work, they loved me. Even when I was their enemy, they loved me. And I try to do the same for others now, to love people into the kingdom of God. And I thank the Lord so much for his faithfulness and his goodness. And I love him so much.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. And if you're listening to this program right now and you're under the conception that, you know what, people only get saved in church, or you know what, people only get saved on the foreign mission field when the missionary does their thing, then you have, my friends, a misconception. As we try to say all the time on the Career Callings radio show, your workplace is your mission field. And God has given you an opportunity, wherever you are working today, to reach out to those people around you with the Word of God, with a prayer, with an offer to help them out and show Christ in your life. And you know what? If John's co-workers had not cared enough for him, then he would still be an atheist today. But through their prayer, through their supplication, and through their encouragement, the Lord called John unto himself through the workings of John's co-workers. So John Smolzy, thanks so much for sharing your testimony on today's edition of Career Callings.
Would it be okay if I shared one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, Jesus said, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And Jesus said that to not just to ministers, but to every believer in Christ. And these believers that prayed for me, they did that. And I just would encourage you all to do that as well. And if there's anyone listening today who maybe you're an atheist and you just came upon this station by chance, or maybe you are an agnostic, or maybe you have been kind of cold toward the Lord, this would be a wonderful time for you to come to Christ and receive him. And you could pray right now with me, if you would, and accept Christ. And I could give you just a simple prayer to pray, but just to mean it in your heart and come to faith in Christ. And it would be such a blessing to me, and that I could rejoice with you as you come to Christ. And if that's you, would you just pray after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I confess to you right now that I've been a sinner. I've done some things that are wrong. And Lord, I'm sorry for every bad thing that I've done. And I know that you came to earth to die on that cross in my place for my sins. And on the third day, God raised you from the dead, and you're alive now and forevermore. And Lord Jesus, please come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior, and save my soul, and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In your holy name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen, John, and God bless you. And that's a wrap on today's special Christmas edition of Career Callings. I hope you've been blessed by my interview with John Smolzy, as I have been. And I invite you to go to careercallings.net to get your free copy of today's program and to use it as a blessing both for your family and friends. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless, and Merry Christmas. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, the more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.